Welcome to Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, a scripturally commanded feast day, convocation, calling together of Yahweh's wonderful people. And that's once a year, around September or October, the seventh scriptural month of the year. In Leviticus 23, speak unto the children of Israel. And that contains most of us. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. The 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Yahweh. On the first day shall be a separated convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. On the 8th day shall be a separated convocation unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. Also see John chapter 11, verse 24. These are the feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be separated convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, a burnt offering and a meat offering. An offering unto Yahweh, drink offerings, everything upon His day, beside the Sabbaths of Yahweh, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings which you give unto Yahweh, also in the 15th day of the seventh month, so that's the high day, the first day of this feast, when we have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto Yahweh 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath. So that's no work on that day. And on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees. So hardly any Messianic Hebraic group has done this yet. There is one in Lapine, Oregon that is doing that this year. Taking on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before Yahweh 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Mighty One, unto Yahweh, 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it on the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths, or Sukkot, when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, or Mitzrayim. I am Yahweh, your Mighty One. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of Yahweh. So all seven feasts are contained in Leviticus 23. There is many other scripture verses dealing with the same subject, but Exodus chapter 23 is one of them. Deuteronomy. And, well, we want to go to, I think it's Zechariah 14. And check out this feast that, there it is, Zechariah, or people say Zechariah, they used to anyway. And in chapter 14, verse 1, behold, the day of Yahweh comes, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Verse 5, and you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Aziel. You shall flee, as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and Yahweh, my Mighty One, shall come, and all the saints with thee. Reminds us of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. All the believers with Yahweh in the clouds as Yahweh appears, as he gathers us up. It shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to Yahweh, not night nor day, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinter sea. In summer and in winter shall it be, and Yahweh shall be king. And Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yahweh, and his name one. So this is prophetic. This is something that's coming here. And this is what this feast symbolizes. As we go ahead now to chapter 6, or Zechariah 14, verse 16. Verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to praise the King, Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of armies, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to praise the King, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Oh, rain is a blessing, isn't it? And if the family of Egypt don't go up, come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith Yahweh will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. No rain, no spiritual rain. Dry. Have you ever been dry spiritually? Well, I've had that before, and I don't want to even be there again. I want to be with Yahweh at that Feast of Tabernacles, going up from year to year. I want to be with our Heavenly Father and with our Savior, Yahusha the King of Kings, Yahweh of all of hosts. And not just once a year. I would like to be with him all the time. But, it's going to be a busy kingdom in that New Jerusalem and in paradise. Verse 20, in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses separation unto Yahweh, and the pots in Yahweh's house. Now, I don't know what these pots are here. I can't explain it. So I don't think I should try. And I don't think anybody else who, unless they really know, should try either. The pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be separation unto Yahweh of hosts. And all they that offer shall come and take of them and seethe therein, like seethe therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of Yahweh of hosts. That's Zechariah chapter 14. And as we read about these feasts in Scripture, I would like to explain that we find hopefully a nice place to get together for a lot of people, have an organized event where it's safe for everyone, for most of the people can get around, and we try to take care of everyone, not just most of the people, but a lovely place in the mountains or by some lake, by the ocean, perhaps in a national park. Well, some would say, well, there's a problem with that, going to a national park. Well, we'll have to check and make sure that things are okay there. We're going to Deuteronomy 14. And about these offerings here and sacrifices, you could read Hebrews 9, that those offerings and sacrifices, the added law. See, there was already a law to keep the Ten Commandments and the statutes and judgments, but then more statutes were added that were not good, such as, I think they are listed there in Jeremiah, but I don't have the reference for you here at the moment. We do have that information available on YahvahYahweh.name. So in Deuteronomy 14, verse 22, talks about that second tithe that we're to set aside for this feast. So we'll have the traveling money and have an abundance of money and funds to take care of ourselves, our family, and of others. Thus shalt thou tithe, they'll truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field brings forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before Yahweh thy mighty one in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn and of thy wine and of thine oil and the firstlings of thy herds and flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear Yahweh always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or the place be too far, which Yahweh shall choose to set his name there, when Yahweh thy mighty one has blessed thee, if it's too far, then thou shalt turn it into money, and bind up the money in your hand, and shall go unto the place which Yahweh shall choose. Also see Exodus 34:24. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul desires, not lusts after necessarily, but desires, for oxen and for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desires, that thou shalt eat there before Yahweh. So eating is a good thing, huh? Eat before Yahweh, that thou shalt rejoice, thou and thy household. For the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he has no part nor inheritance with thee. And then it talks about the third tithe. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of your increase, the same year shall lay it upon up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he has no part or inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yahweh, thy mighty one, may bless thee in all the work of your hand, which you do. And by the way, that the word there for wine is the Hebrew word 3196, which means fermented wine. And other references we could look up, Numbers 6, verse 20, Titus 2, 3, concerning wine. That's Numbers 6, 20, and Titus 2, 3. Also Psalm 104, 15, and Numbers 28, 7. Numbers 28, verse 7. Also Numbers 6, 20, which I gave you a moment ago. And now we're going to go to the next reference here in chapter 16. Go ahead, two chapters. Chapter 16, it tells us how to reckon the beginning of the year and how to keep the Passover there. And we'll move ahead, Passover, and then Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. And in verse 13, that's Deuteronomy 16:13, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after thou hast gathered in the corn and thy wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter. So it's not just the men that are listed there in Exodus chapter 23 in the judgments of keeping the Feast of Yahweh, of the Feast of Tabernacles. It says, three times in the year thy men shall come up to the feast. But it also says here, so the word of Yahweh is parallel and harmonizes. So let's harmonize this with the other scriptures. Deuteronomy 16, verse 12, thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in Egypt, that thou shalt observe and do these statutes. So we were a bondman, maybe not in Egypt, but we were a bondman. We had transgressed Yahweh's laws. We had broken his commandments, statutes, and judgments. Verse 13, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. Verse 14, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thy son, thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto Yahweh, thy mighty one, in the place which Yahweh shall choose, because Yahweh, thy mighty one, shall bless thee in all thy increase and all the works of thy hands. Therefore shalt thou surely rejoice. Now here's the males again. It says three times in a year shall all thy males appear, but it already talked about the sons and daughters and servants and strangers and so on. Three times in a year all males appearing before Yahweh thy mighty one in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, or it's called Sukkot, Hebrew word Sukkot, and they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of Yahweh, thy mighty one, which he has given thee. And, well, there's much more to read about this feast if we look in various places throughout Scripture. So far we have in Leviticus 23 that we're to build Sukkots, and we must abide in them, and we can study the Scripture, and we can fellowship in there, and we can wave branches. We're not necessarily waving it at Yahweh. We're waving the branches. It just says to wave the branch, and as a way of praise and thanksgiving, and a way of obedience. We brave, oh, I, I've gotten all kinds of vegetation and different firs and willows, fig and palm trees and so on. And I wave them at these feast days, all 8 days actually, before Yahva. During the Feast of Tabernacles, that's when, of course, that we're doing that. We bring our food, we bring kosher food, and gather together with people. We listen to inspiring sermons, and we rest a lot too during that time. We recreate. We have a good time up there, getting together in different places around the country or around the world. And there's much more. If you'd like information as to where you might go, possibly give us a call. We may be able to help you out on that at www.yahvayahweh.name, or you might even try eliah.com. That's E-L-I-Y-A-H.com. Although Eliah has a little bit different doctrine. He uses the name of Yahweh, the more popular name, and there's a number of other changes that they make there in that ministry, but they want to keep the Feast of Tabernacles in its spirit. And in this feast, we look ahead to eternity, to being with Yahva, and in the kingdom of Yahva with His believers, with His people, say saints. There's a book called Freedom Under the Law, Under the Law of Yahva, by Bill Schultz. Freedom Under the Law. And he's talking about keeping feast days, how Yahva makes it easy for us. And he's not going to come down and actually live our life for us, so there wouldn't be any challenge in that. But he inspires us to keep his feast days and to keep his commandments. He actually gives us repentance. He grants us repentance to turn from sin and to turn out of our motive of love for Him. But first of all, we have to have this motive within us. Oh, yes. And we have that joy. Now, Bill Schultz writes here in this book, The Freedom, it's called, Under the Law, Freedom Under the Law. He says in page 34, happiness is not only pursued by our vocation, our employ, but also in our times of joy. Yahva, in His law, provides for times of celebration. Men have substituted man-made times for those of Yahva, such as Halloween and the pagan celebration of New Year's and Eshtareth and so on, the winter solstice. But Yahva's chosen times of celebration come with the supernatural element that all mankind craves. The substitute times of man do not include that supernatural element that all mankind naturally craves, but they just don't know how to find it, because they don't know. They haven't read the word. They don't know what applies and what doesn't apply. The substitute times, those holidays of the world and of Christians, also don't come with the blessings of Yahva. He hasn't commanded them. He hasn't called them together. Oh, there may be a blessing there for, you know, I've been to summer camp, Christian summer camp and so on. Of course, there's some blessings there. If I said you don't get any, well, strike that from the record. Yahva has provided supernatural blessings and spiritual impartation during His time of separated celebration, like the Feast of Tabernacles. Before the fall, Adam and Eve walked in the garden with Yahva. They talked with Yahva. They talked face to face with Yahva. And every human longs for the restoration of that relationship. And we can have it. Celebrate those special times of Yahva at His feast days. And you can celebrate each and every day of the year, of course. But we really feel His presence. The premier festival of joy in the Scripture is the Feast of Sukkot, S-U-K-K-O-T, or the Feast of Tabernacles. On this first day, the high day, we are to take choice fruit from the trees, and palm fronds, leafy branches, and poplars, and rejoice with that choice fruit. Rejoice before Yahva for 7 days. Leviticus 23:40. The whole chapter contains the feast days of Yahva. These are on the Hebrew calendar, or, well, there's not an official one that's in ink necessarily, but the calendar is reckoned by the first crescent of the new moon. That's the new year, the first crescent of the new moon was the Feast of Trumpets, which is a type of a symbol of Yahweh's second coming. And then each month, of course, there's a new crescent of the new moon when another month goes by and gives us a new beginning with Yahweh. So that's what we meant by the Hebrew calendar. They're the times to celebrate for all time. They explain the plan of Yahweh for the salvation of all mankind. They explain the manifold blessings of Yahweh in the life of everyone. And they each contain their own special blessing for observance. Yahweh has provided times of rejoicing. Numbers 10. Also at your times of rejoicing, your appointed feasts and new moon festivals. That'd be a good one to read there. It is good for the heart for us to laugh, play, and have fun. Yahweh provides for feast days, new moons, and Sabbath days for us to rest, relax, and to praise Him, and to lift one another up, to be concerned about each other's needs and our own. Yahweh likes to enjoy this time with you. Would you like to enjoy some real time with Yahweh? Do that by observing these commanded convocations in celebration with other people of Yahweh. You'll like the food fellowship and being in Yahweh's presence. He enjoys it with you when you enjoy it with His other children. We are to rejoice before Yahweh for the ability and the freedom to pursue our dreams. Yahweh has granted us the freedom to enjoy this life and pursue our own happiness. It's a family time. It really helps glue the family together to come to feasts. True joy may be found by rejoicing before Him for His goodness, for everything He has given us, the talents to perform, for everything He has given us, the breath to pursue, everything He has given us, the inspiration to take on, and rejoice before Him at these special times. Praise Him. And that takes away stress, too. We don't think about the domestic things. All those should fade away. We should think about spending time in eternity with Yahweh, being so spiritual-minded that we are good, that we are useful to Him. We are productive in Yahweh's kingdom if we'll be a little bit more spiritual-minded. Don't worry about being too spiritual-minded or too fanatical about you. No, there is. I haven't seen anybody who is too fanatical about Yahweh. I've seen some real legalists. Yahweh, in His great love for us all, provided for joyfulness in His law. Not only did He guarantee our life and liberty, but He made provision for us to pursue happiness. And if that's not enough, He'll bless us if we'll live by His law, so that happiness will pursue us. He has granted us the capital to live our dreams. He offered to bless all the works of our lives so our lives would be productive and fulfilling. He gave us times of rejoicing and celebration. These spiritual times that have His joy and His spirit added to our festivities. This Torah, this law of Yahweh, the law of Moses, law of Yahweh, without the death penalty and the sacrifices that have been abrogated, look at Hebrews 9, this is a law of love, a law of joy, and a law of peace. Why is law equal to, or why does it have anything to do with love? 1 John 5, verse 2. 1 John 5, 2. And this is love, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. This is love, that we keep His commandments. This law of love, a law of peace. Why don't we turn to the Torah? Not the Talmud, that's Jewish tradition. We have plenty of men's tradition around in our churches. Turn to His teaching, His instruction, and turn this mess that we've made of the world into something really worth living for. Now I believe we're going to go to Psalm 15 and be encouraged some more today on this great feast day, the Feast of Tabernacles. Yahweh, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy separated hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honors them that fear Yahweh. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that does these things shall never be moved. We won't be moved off the good, straight, and narrow. And these references are from the King James Version. Let's go to Isaiah 30, verse 17. And also Isaiah 57 and Isaiah 66. I want to do that to let you know, if you have any doubt, that these feast days ought and should be kept. They must be kept. And it'll help bring unity in your family and your assembly. And unity, of course, with us, with Yahweh, to get us together, to spend some time together, not just going out for a time of family camp and recreation. I mean, that's good, but a time of concentrated togetherness with Yahweh, and expectation of following Him and His commandments in a beautiful surrounding. How about heavenly Yosemite Park? Well, it's not all heavenly, but you get the picture. Up there at Half Dome and so on, Yosemite Falls, Glacier National Park. Oh, all those flowers in the meadow. There's still some flowers around near the end of summer. Out at the beach, and all the birds and the fragrance, the ocean and so on. Up in the Cascades of the mountains, Bryce Canyon National Park. And, you know, you ever hear of the Navajo Trail? And there's just a whole lot to see there. Grand Canyon, Yellowstone. I could get into some specifics, but yeah, we might do that a little bit. I just kind of like to have, I would like to help motivate you, inspire you, and we can talk about His creations. It's okay to talk about some of these great wonders of the world, the national parks, and to think about the, you know, being there at Yellowstone next to the geysers, Ukinis geyser in the it was Norris Geyser Basin. That's kind of north. When you first come into the park from the west side, Ukinis Geyser. That doesn't appear that often. I think it's a couple of times a day. Old Faithful is supposed to be about every 70, 80 minutes or so. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 17, in regard to this feast and to the power we have when we are walking in the kingdom and walking in the word, walking in the spirit. What does it say? What does Yahweh say to us through Isaiah? And he talks about hearing the law and not just wanting to hear smooth things at the big mega churches. Verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will Yahweh wait, that he may be favorable unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon thee. For Yahweh is a mighty one of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall tabernacle. The people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. They'll tabernacle with Yahweh, like Yahweh sent his son, Yahusha, to tabernacle with us about 2,000 years ago when he was born of a virgin, and that he is Yahweh, that he is the Word. He was born of a virgin, and that he lived those years and instructed us, instructed the apostles to send on the emissaries to send the information down to us. He died on the tree at Calvary and rose from the grave. He shed his blood. By his stripes we are healed. So for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. They shall dwell or tabernacle at Zion. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very favorable unto thee, like unmerited favor. The people call it grace. Unmerited favor unto thee, the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, when he hears our cry, he will answer thee. Yes, yes. You could read many, many passages in Isaiah about the feast day that's we're in the middle of here, enjoying the feast, feasting on the fine food of Yahweh, the spiritual food, not just all the good supper out there and the vegetables and the many desserts. on the table and the drinks that Yahweh provides, but the great spiritual food too. Sometimes we fall asleep when the minister is preaching and giving us a nice message, a nice soothing message, but that means we're just too worn out and tired and must need a little bit of sleep. Then we become alert, and then we can listen. Isaiah chapter 57, I should have told you that before I gave you the fill there. 57:15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is Pure, or Kodesh. I tabernacle in the high and separated place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Yeah, we don't want to be a contrite one, but you could see Jeremiah 17 about the heart. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, Isaiah 66 is what I would like you to think about the time ahead now. Future times here. It's a prophetic chapter. And, okay, you're probably there, but I need just a moment here. Isaiah 66, and it never hurts to read the first verse or two to establish the context. "Thus saith Yahweh, Yahweh, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you built unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yahweh. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Well, we want that contrite spirit then. Okay, I think I was saying that wasn't a good thing, but we need to read the word, and then we can read behind the word. We can look up some of these words in the Hebrew. We can get a program that will actually quickly, if you just click on a word, it'll tell us the meaning in the lexicon, the Hebrew lexicon. It talks about the clean and unclean being an abomination, and being behind a tree in the midst of the garden, which I tend to think of as that pagan tree. And then, and this is a prophetic book, Isaiah, especially this passage, because here in 66, Isaiah 66:22, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another," that's the 12 or 13 new months a year, "from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to praise before me, saith Yahweh." All flesh. Now, did you get that? "From one new moon to another, and one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come and praise him as we gather together on his separated feast day. A separated convocation, lifting up the name of Yahusha the Messiah, entering into his kingdom. Let's hear this inspiring passage of music from B.J. Thomas, Billy Joe Thomas.
Fill us up with love again. We want to praise you in every way we can. Hallelujah. You have made us what we are. By your blood and by your scars, we want to praise you in every way we can. Words are so empty and time is so short to show you how much we love you. Father,
don't deserve your grace. We want to thank you in every way we can. You created everything. Help us worship when we sing. We want to praise you in every way we can.
Billy Joe Thomas from the vinyl album Home Where I Belong, B.J. Thomas and Hallel Yahweh. And the passage that I quoted for you earlier, or tried to quote, about the added law, part of that is found in Jeremiah 7:22, where it says, "For I spake not to your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices, but this thing I commanded them." See, he didn't command burnt offerings and sacrifices, but he did command them, saying, "Obey my voice, and I will be your mighty one, and you shall be my people. Walk in all the ways that I have commanded thee, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." So that could be a lot of us. If our heart is deceived, and it can be wicked, even after we're saved. We have to have a day-by-day or even a moment-by-moment walking in the Spirit with Yahweh. Because one day, you know, I could say, "I'm Pastor so-and-so. I've got all these credentials. I'm such a great counselor. I've, very accredited and lots of titles and medals on my chest and all that." But the next day, I could fall right into sin. If I'm not careful, I have to walk in that Spirit and be thankful for the salvation that Yahweh has given to us. For that was Jeremiah 7:22 about the added law. Also, you'll find in Ezekiel 20:25, Hosea 6:6, and Galatians 3:19, the added law. That's explained back here in Jeremiah 7:22, and then the other passages. So, about the feast days, we go to the book of Psalms, Chapter 42, 42nd Psalm. "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O Yahweh." That's what I'm doing right now here at this feast day. Are you? Yes, that's why you're here. I know it. It's got to be. "My soul thirsteth for Yahweh, for the living mighty one. When shall I come and appear before Yahweh? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is Yahweh? When I remember these things, I pour out my spirit in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of Yahweh, and with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the feast days." Oh, it's just wonderful to sit down with feast day keepers in the supper hall and fellowship. Talk about the word of Yahweh. Psalm 43. "Judge me, O Yahweh, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." Verse 3, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, light and truth. Let them bring me unto thy separated hill and to thy tabernacles." Don't be cast down, but be lifted up by the Spirit of Yahweh. Psalm 81, another one about the feast days, namely the Feast of Trumpets there, Yom Teruah, the Feast of Blowing of Trumpets. Psalm 84 now, a psalm for the sons of Korah, to the chief musician. "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Yahweh of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living Yahweh. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Yahweh of hosts, my King and my mighty one. Blessed are they that tabernacle in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose hearts are in the ways of them." Oh, that's a beautiful verse there, Psalm 84, verse 4, verse 5 there. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them." That we could really bring that out and study that deeper and deeper on that one. But during the feast, we want to just encourage you to keep all 8 days, that last great day, the eighth day, and fellowship. You can help others, let others help you too during this feast, and just relax, let the cares drift away, get set to go back, and transition back into the normal surroundings, back into I don't want to say the world, but back into normal civilization. They're not up here in a heavenly-like place like you are today. And neither will you be when you leave here, probably. Unless your house is just so peaceful, your neighborhood so peaceful, with all the beautiful music surrounding you when you get back there. And no threatening phone calls or anything like that. Just sisters and brothers calling each other, lifting one another up, and meeting every seventh-day Sabbath, every new moon, and every feast day, and at other times too, just to praise the name of Yahuwah. Praise Him. Well, we'll see you tomorrow on the second day, depending upon when this webcast is being played here, but we'll see you again during this Feast of Sukkot.